1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. We'll be reading one verse of Scripture this morning. And I know this may be a little imposition for some of you, but if you would please stand if you're able as we read this one verse of Scripture in reverence of the reading of God's Word this morning. 'Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.' Father, we bow in your presence this morning to thank you for this day and this place that we have to come and assemble ourselves together and worship you corporately. I pray that today will be meaningful. It will be helpful. It will be an encouragement and yet be a challenge to each of us. I pray, Father, again, that you will be very real to every person here. I pray that earlier this morning. I pray again now, Lord, be real to everyone here. Even those that may be here lost without Jesus, or those that are watching today via live stream that may be lost without Jesus, Father, how I pray that you will be real to them today. I pray that your word will be powerful and that it will do a work in us, that you may do a work through us as we live our lives out each day. So, Lord, bless the reading and now the proclamation of your word. And I thank you. And I bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Today I want us to consider people's significant influence on each other. Sometimes I think that we don't really realize how we are influenced by others. But from the time that we are children, all the way through our adult life, we are influenced by those around us. Did I not turn it on? Thank you, my dear brother. I thought something was a little strange. Thank you. But we are influenced by those that are around us. But not only are we influenced by others, but we influence others. I want to share an article with you that I came across this past week in preparation for this message. Is an article in the National Library of Medicine, and it's entitled "The Impact of Role Models, Mentors, and Heroes on Academics and Social Outcomes in Adolescence." And it emphasizes the very truth that I'm going to try to get across to you this morning. And I want you to listen carefully, and I quote, "Identity formation is a dynamic process and key developmental task that begins in adolescence. The American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry defines a role model as someone who serves as an example by influencing others. This influence can have a significant impact on the identity and values that an adolescent adopts. This impact can be positive or negative depending on the role model that the child identifies with. An association between having a role model and positive outcomes such as elevated self-esteem, performance in school, and resilience has been established previously. Studies have also shown that having positive role models can protect against engaging in high-risk behaviors such as participation in violence, sexual intercourse, and substance abuse. Just as role models can positively influence adolescent development, role models who participate in socially inappropriate and illegal behaviors can have a negative effect. These negative role models have been linked to externalizing behaviors such as violent and nonviolent delinquency, internalizing behaviors such as feelings of anxiety and depression, and substance use behaviors. Parents have been established as influential role models in the lives of adolescents. Having a parent as a role model has been linked to better outcomes in school and less engagement in high-risk behaviors such as substance abuse." And so this, what I'm about to share with you is not only applicable to all of us, but especially parents and grandparents. We never realize the influence that we carry with our children and our grandchildren. And so this morning, I want us to consider being role models for those that are around us. And role models are people who are looked to by others as examples to be emulated. And so this morning, let's look at this text together. Once again, I want to read it. 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in worship, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Now, first of all, I want you to see this is a sincere exhortation from Paul. So look at the sincerity or sincere exhortation here in verse 12. Paul is giving this sincere exhortation to a young man by the name of Timothy, his child or son in the faith, if you please, to demonstrate his spiritual maturity. That's what he's exhorting him to do, to demonstrate his spiritual maturity by living a godly life so that he would be a role model or pattern for others. And that is exactly what this word example means here in the text. He says, be an example. And that word means a model for imitation. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, I want you to live in such a way that others will imitate your life. Now, it's interesting that this is not the only place in Scripture where we find either a word of encouragement or an exhortation or a commandment or encouragement for God's people to live Christian lives, to live godly lives. And this is vitally important, not only as individual members of the body of Christ, but as a corporate body. Every time we go out the doors of this church, we're to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And there is absolutely no way that you nor I nor anyone else can be a good and godly witness for Jesus apart from living a godly life. That's why many people, many professing Christian people, do not witness for Jesus. It is because they're not living the life they should be living, and they know that. And to a certain extent, I think they're embarrassed about it. But oftentimes they don't do anything about it. They don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to give up some of the habits they have and the things that they're doing in their life to really live that Christ-like life. But Paul is exhorting Timothy here to be Christ-like. Other places in Scripture, for example, is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, where the great apostle Paul, listen to what he said in that one little verse. He says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Paul is saying, just as I am emulating the life of Jesus and I'm living my life out in a godly lifestyle, I want you to emulate my lifestyle. I want you to be like I am. Isn't that an amazing statement given by someone? I don't know that I could ever make that statement. I hope that I'm living my life in a way that will be a godly example for everyone, but I know I make my mistakes. But to be able to say to someone else, you live as I live because I'm living like Jesus lived. That is a powerful statement. I find in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what he said to his disciples? He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, in this particular passage, to demonstrate the impact his disciples would make on their world, Jesus uses two common illustrations. He uses salt and light. And just as salt carries with it influence, it influences everything it touches unless it loses its savor, its saltiness. And he's saying to every believer, you are to be the salt of the earth. You're to have a good and godly influence on everyone around you. But if you do not, then you're losing your savor and you're just like salt. It's good for nothing to be thrown out into cast under the foot of men. He said, you're to be the light of the world. A light is meant to shine. It's meant to give direction for people's lives. And he said, you as disciples, you're to be the light of the world so that when people see your life, they will glorify the Father, your Father, which is in heaven. And that's one way we give glory to God. It's through the way we live our lives every day. And listen, it's interesting how that we sometimes can be different at home than we are in public. You ever thought about that? Think about it for just a moment. How sometimes we're different in private in our home than we are in public. We should be the same everywhere we go. But the truth is sometimes we aren't. Oh, we get angry, we get frustrated. We don't want people out in public to see that, but we do it. We do all kind of things that we shouldn't do. But Jesus is saying we are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I think about what Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. And he spoke to the young men and he said, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern. Showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so Paul is exhorting Timothy to exhort, Titus to exhort the young men to strive to show themselves a pattern. That word means a model or an example to all in every good work. And so just as Paul exhorted Timothy, we ourselves are being exhorted this morning from the Word of God that we are to live a godly example. Well, I want you to see a second thing here. Not only did we see the sincere exhortation in verse 12, but we also see the specific qualities that are to be developed in our life in order for us to be a good and godly example. And he gives us about six things here in this text. Number one, he says you need to be a good and godly example in your word, or words, plural. Word, what does that mean? That word carries with it the idea of speech and communication. It is how you and I talk. What we say is important. And our words create impressions that are either good or bad, either godly or ungodly. I don't want to even think about the way I used to talk before I was saved. I had a filthy mouth. I'm ashamed of it, but I had a filthy mouth. And I didn't care who I was around. It didn't matter. That was just my lifestyle. And I hear Christians today, people who profess to know the Lord, I hear them sharing off-the-wall jokes and saying things that are just so ungodly, using foul language. Folks, listen, that's no way for Christian people, godly people, to be. It just isn't. And so God warns us about the tongue, the instrument in which we use to speak. Psalm 34:13 says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth his mouth wide, his lips shall have destruction. And then finally, Philippians 1:27, Paul said, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And so we need to develop godly communication in our lives. Second, notice what he says. He uses the word conversation. Now, when we look at that word today, that would seem to imply that, Paul is referring to our speech, our communication, but he's not. That word conversation here in the original language means manner of life, conduct, or behavior. So here he's talking about how we live, not what we say, but how we live our life, our behavior. Timothy was to be disciplined and controlled in his behavior. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good godly lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. That came from James 3:13. So Timothy, as well as Christians, are to conduct themselves as representatives of Jesus in the details of daily living. And then we move on, and Paul says here, we're not only to develop our words and our communication to be godly, but we're also to develop our charity, our love. And that's what that word charity means. Here's brotherly love, affection. Now listen to this. Bruce B. Barton states in his commentary on 1 Timothy, and I quote, he says, when we say the right words and live the right way but lack love, we are demonstrating a legalistic view of God's expectations. I remember what Paul said in the book of Corinthians about spiritual gifts. And he gave a list. It's not an exhaustive list by no means, but he gave a list of spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives individual believers in the body of Christ and how they're to be exercised in the body. And then he goes on in the next chapter and he says, but listen, the greatest above all of these gifts is love. And he says, if you don't exercise these gifts in love, that you just become like sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So love is key to how you and I communicate. Love is key to how you and I live our lives each and every day. If we say that we know Christ, we may communicate well, we may try to live our life. Listen, but if we're not living in love, if we're not demonstrating love, if we're not exercising love toward everyone we meet, it's not going to have much of an impact on people's lives. We must demonstrate love. Next, he says, in spirit. And I believe this refers to how the believer is to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells every single believer. At the moment of salvation, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God comes to abide in the body of the person who is saved, and the body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. And He lives inside of every single believer. And we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk by the Spirit every single day. That is, we're to walk by His leadership. As He guides us, as He leads us every day, and He lives in us, we're to let Him live through us, and we're to walk with Him. Galatians 4:16 says this, I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so believers are not only to walk in the Spirit, but they're to be led by the Spirit. They are to be spiritually minded. Romans 8:5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So that means to be spiritually minded in all that we do. And then as we move on in number 5, he says, we're to do this in faith. We're to develop faith in our life. Now, this word carries the idea of having moral conviction of religious truth. It also denotes fidelity and faithfulness, the character of one who can be relied on. And so we must bear this image in faith, not in doubt, but in faith, being faithful to the one that has saved us and called us. And then purity. The last word is purity, and this word denotes moral purity and integrity. One must live an ethical, clean, just, and honest life. And then if we look at what Paul said in Titus 2:6-7, he said a believer must show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. Now the third thing I want you to see this morning, and I'm going to be through, and that is the spiritual resources needed to be a role model. And it's interesting that God provides every resource that you and I need as believers to live the Christian life and to set a godly example. He doesn't leave out anything. He equips us with everything we need to be godly. Every single one of us who name the name of Christ. I want to share them with you. There's several of them. There could be others, but I want to share them with you. Number one is salvation through the new birth. Through salvation, we come to know Christ. We enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. And through that relationship, again, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in just a moment. But it is through Jesus and the new birth that we receive God's divine nature. We receive God's divine nature. It comes to live on the inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. We receive God's divine nature, which gives each believer a desire to live godly and equips one with what one needs to live godly. When God's divine nature is living on the inside of us, that divine nature, that seed of God that is in there, His Spirit that lives in us, is motivating us. motivating us to live godly. If you claim to be a Christian this morning, listen to me carefully. If you claim to be a Christian this morning and the Holy Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you, He will be in you if you are saved. And the Holy Spirit is not leading you to be godly and to be holy and to live as perfect a life as you can before the Lord, even though no one can be perfect, then there is something wrong with your spiritual life. You need to check up. And that goes to me just like it goes to any of us here or any other person who claims to be a Christian. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Peter said, the word says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that are obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power. Now listen to this. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What did that say? Let me repeat that. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and by Jesus our Lord, according as His, God's divine power, hath given unto us, those who believe, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Godliness. And so God equips us through salvation. We are equipped. Then He gives us the Holy Spirit, which is all mentioned, which is given at the new birth, who indwells, He fills, He teaches, He convicts, He guides, He conforms, and He empowers one to live godly in Christ Jesus. That's what Peter just now said in that verse that I just read. And then I think about the Word of God. He has given us another essential, which is the Word of God. He tells us in His Word how we're to live. Now, we can take the Word of God and we can read it and we can just ignore what it's saying. But if we truly love the Lord and if we want to live godly, we want to be godly, then we're going to have to do what He says for us to do from His written Word. That's why it is there. So we will know what He expects of us. And so we read the Word of God, we meditate on the Word of God, and we put the Word of God into practice in our own personal life. We don't go off and tell somebody, okay, this is how you're supposed to live, and you live this way without our living the same way. And so the Word of God is there. It enlightens and instructs, it reproves, and it purifies. And then I think about one final thing that I think is absolutely essential in living a godly life and being a role model for others, and that is the brethren. The brethren. You say, what do you mean? The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. What does that mean? I think it carries with the implication, the idea, that one person sharpens another person. In other words, as iron sharpens iron, our life can be advantageous to someone else's life like their life can be advantageous to us if we're living godly and living by the book. We must be living godly and be living by the book. And so iron sharpens iron. And this is why it is so critical for everyone to be connected to a corporate body of believers called the church. That's why corporate worship is so critical and so important, and yet we treat it as such a trivial thing. We choose to go to church some Sundays. We choose to stay home others. We can find every excuse in the world for not coming to church. But listen, God tells us in His Word in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. Listen to this. This is so important. He says, and let us, He's writing to Christian people, He says, and let us consider one another. Did you hear that? Let us in the body of Christ to consider one another, to provoke one another unto love and to good works, plural. And then he says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, listen to this now, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what is he saying? He's saying that living in the body of Christ, being a part of the church, is critical to our living the Christian life. A believer must be willing to show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, living out his and her life in a fashion that others may want to emulate their lifestyle. And as we emulate the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do that in the body of Christ, that's why our relationship is so essential. That's why no one should never neglect being a part of a local body of believers. We're to encourage each other. We're to exhort one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to walk with one another. All of those things, that word there, exhort, means to admonish, reprimand, even rebuke, entreat, encourage, comfort, and strengthen. And that is how we grow in our spiritual life. Now, that's not to say that we're to, you know, as we consider each other's lives, we're not to go around with a magnifying glass trying to find something wrong in someone's life so that we can jump on them and say, hey, brother, you're not living this way, or sister, you're not living this way. You need to do this. No, that's not what this is talking about. In love, you and I are to be encouraging each other. But when we see something in a brother or sister's life that we think will be detrimental to them, we can go to them in love. Go to them in love and confront them and say, listen, you may not be aware of this, but I see this and I think it can be detrimental to your witness and detrimental to your Christian life. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I love you. Not that I think I'm any better than you are, because I make my mistakes. But out of love, let me ask you a question. All of you that are here this morning that have children, parents that are here, grandparents that are here, when you were raising your children, as you're raising your grandchildren right now, when you see them do something wrong, what do? You correct them. Why do you do that? Because you love them. That's exactly why the Bible says that God corrects us. He chastens every child of His. Why? He does it out of love. And He chastens us to help us realize our mistakes so that we can correct them and we can be more like Him. And so as parents and grandparents, we correct our children and grandchildren because we want them to grow up to be people of integrity. And we want them to be like us. Hopefully we're living a Christian life. We're living as we should. We want them to be right. We want them to be have a positive impact on society. And so we teach them what's right and wrong because we love them. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ, because we love one another. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to encourage one another. And we're going to confront one another when it's necessary out of love. In closing, let me ask you. I think we all need to ask ourselves this question, and I've asked myself this question. I mean, I get these sermons a lot more than you do. You don't get them but one time. I get them several times. I mean, you know, I have to put it together. The Lord lays it on my heart, and I begin to study, and I put it together, and then I'm starting to study it and restudy it and study it over and over again until I give the opportunity to get up and share it with you. And so I get this over and over again. But it's a question every single one of us need to ask ourselves. What kind of role model are we? Because we are being a role model. That's not the question here. Every single person in this building is being an influence on those around you. And every single one of us who are here are influencing those around us. So we're all influencers in that respect. So what kind of influence are we being on our children and our grandchildren, on our spouses? What kind of influence are we being in the workplace, in the schoolhouse? What kind of influence are we being in life in general? Wherever we go, Are we the same wherever we go? Or are we putting on a front? I would hope not. I would hope we'd always be the same everywhere we go. We don't have to put on a front because it's our true heart. It's what God made us. It's how He made us when He saved us. And we're being what He wants us to be. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example in the example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.